All right, so Willie.
Yes.
Comic Con 2019.
Comic Con SDCC.
SDCC
San Diego.
They showed a new It trailer. They had a panel as well.
They did.
Scare Diego.
Yes, which is the opening night. It's like an offsite thing that Warner Brothers does.
Yes.
Well, I think it's really neat.
Me too.
It's kind of a fun way to kick off the weekend.
It gives like a night of horror all to itself.
Which
well,
is cool.
Warner's horror, but yeah.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. I mean, Warner's been kind of crushing it with some of the stuff lately anyway.
Yeah.
So good for them. They did release a new It trailer. They showed a few clips as well at Scare Diego.
Did they show some clips?
Yeah. I've do you want to know about them? No, yes.
Yeah, let's preface this with there will be some spoilers as far as what they showed, but
sure.
Not maybe book spoilers.
Correct. Maybe both.
Yeah.
They showed three clips, one of which was them kind of gathering together at the Jade of the Orient, which is the restaurant they go to when they get back to Derry. They have the big dinner. It's in the books. It's in the original miniseries. It's the first time they all see each other as adults.
Yep.
And I guess Mike kind of drops the bomb of like, hey, like, it's all fun and games, but remember why we're back. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Because they've all kind of have hazy memories at best of what happened to them as kids. And then some Pennywise shenanigans apparently happen. There's some sort of creepy stuff he's pulling off in front of them.
Yes.
So I'm not sure exactly what the details are. But and then they showed a clip of an extended version of the bit in the trailer in the House of Mirrors.
They showed the whole clip that's from the trailer. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
People may know the scene with the tongue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they showed a little bit more of that. McAvoy is in there. He's, you know, got the kid wedged between him and the kid's wedged in between two panes of glass. McAvoy's on one end, Pennywise on the other. The bits you don't see in the trailer, I guess Pennywise starts headbutting the glass to, like, get through.
Okay.
I think the very end of the clip, he breaks through the glass, but then they cut it off. So, I don't know. That kid might, like, totally bite it right in front of.
Right in front of.
I kind of hope it does happen, because that would, like, like, I don't, like, obviously it's horrible, but, like, I kind of hope that does happen, because that'll totally set the stakes of, like.
Like, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're killing more kids here. Like, this is nuts.
Big year for Hall of Mirrors scenes, because isn't there some in Us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then finally they showed a scene of the kids returning, or the adults rather, returning to the house on Niebolt Street.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And big spoilers coming up for those who have not read the book or know anything about the story. So shut it down now for a minute or two. The fridge that Pennywise comes out of in the original movie, the first movie, it opens up and Stan's head is inside the fridge. Which is from the book, and it talks to them and stuff. But this time, it's an homage to John Carpenter's The Thing. It sprouts spider legs at the side of its head and starts crawling around on the ground. And apparently that was, like, made up on the spot, because Andy Muschietti is like, I want to do a Thing reference. Let's do it.
Right.
So the effects guys were like, yeah, we'll attach.
You know. That works, too, because, like, it's an 80s reference.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
The kids would have seen.
Oh, my God, that's perfect.
Yeah, great stuff. So, anyway, I guess it comes out and starts yelling and screaming at them while it's on the spider legs crawling around. So, we're in for a treat, I think, with this one, man.
Oh, that's perfect.
The adult section of the book and the adult section of the miniseries was always the less interesting of the two sections. In the book, it's more, you know, merged together into one story. But there's still two separate time periods. I mean, he switches very obviously back and forth between the two. And I think you would agree, right, that the adult stuff has always been a little bit less interesting?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think they know that, and I think they're making some smart decisions here.
This is a pretty excellent cast, too.
It's fantastic.
Which is going to help, I think, maybe alleviate some of that, too. From what I've seen, it seems like they've recognized some of the issues that those parts have in the book.
Yes.
And I
think they're streamlining some of the. They're doing a good job of padding it with some. Here's the thing that I read. Muschietti talked about, the director, talked about at Comic-Con, that not a lot of people are talking about, that I find really cool, is that, so they shot a ton of stuff with the kids for part two.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, we're going to see stuff they experienced that summer from the first movie that we didn't see in the first movie. And the interviewer's like, well, how does that work? And he goes, they forgot. So as the adults are remembering their childhoods, we're seeing glimpses of things we never saw in the first movie. I'm like, that is so rad. Yeah. Like, how cool is that? So essentially the first movie is like an incomplete version of like what?
That's really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like they're doing the smoke hole, which is so sweet to me. The only thing I'm concerned about.
Okay.
It looks like Mike is going to be present in the finale, which he's not in the book.
Yeah, it's nice that they have given Mike some stuff to do. Yeah.
bring Mike into the sewers. That subplot of him in the hospital where the nurse gets possessed by Pennywise and tries to kill him in the book, it's like a really crappy subplot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, it's like an afterthought. And I think it seems to me like they're probably excising Bill's wife showing up in Derry and getting kidnapped by Pennywise.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I don't need any of that.
Yeah, I don't need any of
that. I don't even need Bev's husband coming back to Derry. Henry Bowers, I'm down with.
Yeah, there was some Henry Bowers in the trailer.
He's in
the
trailer
for a quick
very briefly.
Yeah, I'm
down with that. But there's too many people that show up randomly in that. Hey, I love the book. Don't get me wrong.
No,
but for a movie, I can. Those are things that can totally go away.
If I want to read the book, I can read the book.
Exactly. it'll take you a while, but you can do it. We're both on the precipice of rereading or rereading.
I started it.
Did you?
And then, like, I'm about 100 pages in right now, and I'm like,
are you listening or reading?
I'm combining it.
Oh.
So well, yeah, what I'll do is I'll listen a little bit and then I can read. Like, I've got the paperback at home and I've got the audiobook. I bought it a while back. I think when I read it a couple of years ago. But there is part of it like, man, this is going to be a
I think I'm going to do
undertaking.
I think I'm going to start. My goal is going to be to start August 1st and end at the end of August. Give myself 1 month to read the book. I think that's reasonable.
Right.
I got that beast back there. You can see it.
You've got the hardcover.
That is the first edition.
Okay. I've got the one that came out around the time of the miniseries.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I used to have one that I got from my uncle, but like the first like 50 pages were missing because it was a paperback. And you know how they get when they're big like that? The binding comes apart.
And there's a lot of pages in that book,
yes.
But the first 50 are pretty important.
No, they are.
A couple other things. It looks like they're doing the Adrian Mellon stuff. I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I'm happy they're doing that.
The smoke hole thing I'm excited about. The only thing that gives me pause, and it's probably not fair because it's very briefly in the trailer,
mm-hmm.
is there's a bit right at the end and it's clearly Bill Skarsgård and it looks like he's painting his face or cutting his face or something to become Pennywise, and I'm wondering what that is about.
Do you think it
looks like it's like a period setting?
That's what I think. I mean, I think it ties into maybe early Pennywise.
Maybe or the Bob Gray stuff?
Yeah, maybe that stuff. Some people have speculated that it's Bill Hader.
that's Skarsgård.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too. I thought it was pretty obvious.
Yeah,
but,
since the beginning. I guess it just depends on what it is. If it's us learning how Pennywise took on, why he decided to take on the guise of Pennywise, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Then I'm down. I actually think that's kind of cool. It's something that's not in the book. If it's like some weird like new version of his origin where he like possesses a traveling circus clown or something, I'll be really annoyed. But we'll see. I don't think they're going to do that.
I
just hope Pennywise. I hope it is still an interdimensional creature. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to still be this like Lovecraftian creature that you can't even describe. You know?
Right.
I don't know.
I think we're going some strange places in this one.
I'm psyched.
I am very, very good for it. Yeah.
Let her rip.
All right, let's rapid fire some stuff. That was the big horror stuff.
I'm
fine with covering that. That was the biggest horror stuff, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that wasn't Comic-Con, was it, that they announced the titles for Halloween, the Halloween sequels?
Well, it was the same weekend, and I think it was just because they figured, like, let's ride off the buzz of Comic-Con. So we can count that.
Yeah.
We got two Halloween sequels coming out. This rumor came out a couple weeks ago.
I think we talked about it a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. So in October of 2020, we're going to get Halloween Kills. What do you think of that title?
I love these titles so much.
I love the next one even more, too. So.
Halloween Ends?
Halloween Ends in 2021.
There's a kitschiness to them. There's like an old school.
I love that. Danny McBride and David Gordon Green are back. Jamie Lee Curtis is back. John Carpenter's back.
It sounds like, the whole gang is back, right?
I don't know what we're doing.
I saw an interview today that says this is going to end the story. Like the Jamie Lee Curtis, the Laurie Strode story.
Which we've done before.
Right.
To varying success.
I can't imagine this crew coming up with an idea that's two movies and not interesting in the least. Like,
has to
be. Least be interesting
to
enough
be.
To, like, get everybody back on board. Like, I can't imagine it just being another resurrection.
Right?
Or, like, another, yeah, like, something... Because it's two movies.
If this is two movies that are just leading to, like, a showdown where they both die... Okay. I mean, well, I guess the road to get there could be fun. I guess first we need to get over the logical leap of how do you live? Because we're dealing with supposedly a Michael Myers that is certainly more human than he was in the Cult of Thorn movies, right?
God, what if they tie in the Cult of Thorn?
Can you imagine? What if they get into the multiverse?
Yeah, they bring in like the silver shamrock stuff. Like, what if they tie it all together? What if they tie all? Yeah,
what if there are multiple
madness?
Laurie Strodes?
Yeah,
and they bring that back to Rob Zombie Laurie Strode too.
What if that's why they did it?
I'm into it.
I would lose my mind.
You'd love it, wouldn't you?
Oh my god!
If Tyler Mane showed up and grunted. Oh my god!
Into the Michaelverse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It was really just the titles, though. They've talked a little bit about it. Both the director, whose name's escaping me, David Gordon Green, and I think McBride's talked a little bit about it as well, because McBride has a new HBO show coming out. Oh, by the way, everybody, if you have HBO, watch Los Spookies.
I've heard it's fantastic.
It's the best. Yeah. It's so good. It's a Spanish language show, but it does. It's so silly. It's amazing. I just watched that this past weekend. Yeah, we'll rapid fire a couple things here. One of the other big news: Edward Furlong is back.
He's back, baby.
In TD, whatever.
In
Six,
Terminator
Seven,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
We don't know what capacity, really. I've seen different things about it.
We'll see.
We won't know until we see him.
I'm down, though.
Kind of excited for it.
Yeah, me too.
I thought, did you watch the trailer? Like, the sizzle reel they put together?
Mm-mm.
It's kind of good.
This is the one, this is it, right? Like, If this doesn't work, we can put a fork in it at this point, right?
If this doesn't work, it's over. It kind of has to be.
For years. Yeah. I mean, at least 10 years.
Yeah, because we've tried a lot.
Too much. So
I think this looks good.
I hope it's going to be sweet.
I may be setting myself up for disappointment, but whatever. What else did I have here? Oh, it was Supernatural's final Comic-Con panel this year. They always have kind of fun. They have really fun Comic-Con panels. This one was kind of a bummer, though, because it's the last one.
Yeah, yeah. They're all probably crying and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but they'll be back in some form.
Yeah.
Like a movie or something.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. We're not gonna give this bad boy up.
We'll save that. They showed a Preacher trailer. I bring that up because if you want a breakdown of that, you can go listen to Gone to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch back up with them. Gone to Texas, the official Preacher podcast. Well, I guess it's unofficial. I don't know what's
it's our official.
It's our official
Preacher podcast.
Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead released a photo.
I saw it.
Hey. Batista's in it.
I'm down, man.
Do you know the plot of this?
Yeah.
You, they like go to Vegas and it's like a heist movie, right?
I've read the original script.
Okay.
For it. This is, I guess, totally different though. Like the original script, dude, was like, there's like zombies like raping women and stuff. Like,
okay.
My understanding is that's gone.
That's gone down. Yeah.
Which is for the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I'm down for this. I like the Dawn of the Dead remake. I have fun with it. So.
I want to, and like, who's in this? Garrett Dillahunt. Is in it. Theo Rossi, Chris D'Elia? Yeah, the picture's just them.
Looking sweet.
Like, it's an army in front of, like, it looks like a hotel, a motel, like a kind of a desert.
I believe it takes place in Vegas.
It does take place in Vegas, yeah. I'm kind of all for this. This is a Netflix one, right?
Yep.
It's going to be on Netflix.
Yep. I'm not spending a penny on it, and I'm A-OK with that.
It's a zombie heist thriller. I'm always there for Batista.
Dude, for sure. Why wouldn't I be?
Love a man, Big Dave.
Yep.
All right, let's get into the Marvel stuff.
Let's do it.
The horror stuff.
Yeah, let's try to stick to the horror stuff. There's a couple horror things.
There is. The first one, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Scott Derrickson's back. He's going to be directing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is a great title.
It is a great title.
Like, I love it.
Second best Marvel title there, though.
Well, your favorite is WandaVision, right?
To the point where I'm like, that is such a dumb title. That's so stupid. That's such a dumb title. Now I'm like, that's the best title.
It's kind of fantastic.
And now I'm all for it. Love and Thunder is the best title.
That title, that treatment to like the logo. It looks like
really
the Thundercats logo. It's fantastic. anyway. So Derrickson basically said this is like the Marvel's first foray into horror. I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not going to be, you know.
The Strange books did kind of delve into
for
horror.
For sure. Yeah, more so than any of the bigger superheroes in that universe. The Strange books, the Ghost Rider books too. And
right.
And then finally, there's another character that delves into horror quite a bit.
I want Blade.
Blade.
Complicated feelings for me about this.
Yeah, you went through quite an emotional roller coaster.
I needed what happened midweek to happen, which is Wesley.
His blessing.
Can I read it?
Of course.
Can I read Wesley's blessing? I think he just sent this to Entertainment Weekly. He didn't tweet it out. I don't know. He must have been asked for comment, I'm sure.
You know, Wesley used to be like the worst person, right? Like back when he made Blade 3. Have you heard the stories about that?
tell me one.
There was a shot where he was supposed to be sleeping and open his eyes. And that was,
yeah.
It was a close-up on his eyes opening up. And they're rolling. Okay, rolling, you know. All right, Wesley, open your eyes. And he refused to.
Yeah.
So they just CGI eyes opening because he refused to open his eyes for this shot. He called Ryan Reynolds a cracker on set. So there's that. Yeah. Read up on the Blade Trinity stories, dude.
And then realize I love Wesley even more. He says, to all the Daywalkers losing their minds, Daywalkers is all in all caps, to all the Daywalkers losing their minds right now, chillax. Although the news comes as a surprise, it's all good, all caps, such as the business of entertainment, which he has in quotes. His business and entertainment in quotes. Much peace to the MCU crew, always a fan. Honor and respect to the Grandmaster Stan. Congratulations and salam to Mahershala Ali, a beautiful and talented artist whose expressions I look forward to experiencing for many years to come. Inshallah, we will someday work together. Most importantly to my loyal fans, the incredible outpouring of love is overwhelming. You're welcome, Wesley. That was partly me because I did not respond well to this at first. I am grateful for the never-ending support. So, nah fret, nah worry. It's not the end of the story. Welcome to the Daywalker Click.
Oh, my God.
It was beautiful. I needed nothing else. Wesley spoke, and I'm fine with it.
I'm happy you're happy.
Because I was not... Mahershala Ali is actually, I mean...
A fantastic choice
for Blade. And apparently, you said that he came to Marvel and was like, I want to make a Blade.
They had no plans to make Blade. He literally got a hold of Feige and went, I want to do a Blade movie, please. And Feige went, okay.
Now, part of that story disappoints me that he did not run it by Wesley first.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
We might not know about that.
Wesley's statement makes it seem like no, but.
Can I share, since we're on the talk,
please
can I share a few Blade Trinity set stories?
By all means.
All right. So Wesley Snipes strangled David Goyer on set.
Okay.
Choked him.
Okay.
Both hands. So the next night, apparently, Goyer was out drinking at a strip club, which you do when you're on the set of Blade Trinity.
Yeah, I would think
and,
so.
And he met some bikers, like a motorcycle gang, and he had them show up on set to be his personal security to keep Wesley away from him. Wesley Snipes most days refused to leave his trailer and basically just smoked weed in his trailer all day.
Okay. Fine with this. Fine with it. I mean, the Goyer thing is bad. The choking thing is bad.
Not good.
But, like, I don't know, man. I've seen The Unborn. I'm not that bad with it.
He referred to David Goyer as a racist motherfucker.
Okay, well.
For
any particular reason there? I would like to know more stories on that. Cause
so
maybe this. Wait a minute. Maybe this leads into the choking.
So there was another. There was only one other featured black actor in the film, and the character wears a shirt that says "garbage." And he's like, "There's only one other black guy in this movie, and you make him wear a shirt that says "garbage." You racist motherfucker! he lost his mind. Probably because he was high. He only referred to Ryan Reynolds as that cracker. Here's a. This is an anonymous executive on the film that stated this.
Right.
Snipes would say things like, tell that cracker to get out of my eye line and tell that cracker to get his lines right. he sued the production for $5 million.
Okay.
He only communicated with anybody on the crew via Post-it note.
Excuse me, what?
Yep. So he got in the physical altercation with Goyer. He choked Goyer. And they stopped speaking altogether over the course of the, like, they didn't talk once for the rest of the shoot.
Right.
So he wanted to get his point across. So he, towards the end of the shoot, when he was filming all his close-ups, Snipes would start passing Post-it notes to David Goyer.
Okay.
And you know, to tell Goyer what he wanted for the scene, because he's the director. And, but he would always, he would sign the note, sign off on the notes. Like, he would, like, but he would say, from Blade. on the Post-it notes.
No, Snipes seems like legitimately crazy.
Oh no, yeah. We're not done. Hold on. Wesley Snipes pushed very, very hard. Maybe too hard to have a sex scene with Jessica Biel.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So
That one's a little skeevy.
Oh, he pushed on it a lot. Yeah. Apparently. He stayed in character all throughout filming. Did he, though? Because if he was in his trailer just smoking weed the whole time, that doesn't seem like a Blade thing, right?
I could see Blade 2 smoking some weed. Because he did get, what's his name? Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he did. And honestly, Whistler definitely smoked some weed, too. So I can see it. I don't think Blade would necessarily stay in a trailer all day and smoke weed.
No, he'd fight vampires at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, those are some stories. Sidebar, that's some Wesley stories from Blade 2. Most of these from Patton Oswalt, who was on set the whole time.
That's right. He's in the movie, isn't he? Natasha Lyonne's in that movie, too. Isn't she?
Also.
She is terrible in that movie.
Not good.
She plays, honestly, the worst. It's the worst blind performance I've ever seen in my
life. It's pretty bad. The movie's pretty bad.
Yeah,
it does have my boy though, Dominic Purcell as Dracula. So
yeah, Blade, time to die.
My favorite Dracula. All right, what else we got?
I think that was it. Is there any other Comic-Con news you wanted to talk
about?
What
else is there to talk about other than that, man? Like that's. I'll say this: we did not get anything. Dr. Sleep related, but you finally saw the trailer.
It's quite good.
Really good, right?
Yeah.
Dude, when they hit that score at the end, Shining score.
A couple of those shots, he says they aren't from The Shining.
There's one shot in that trailer from The Shining.
That's amazing.
It's the blood.
Me. Yeah, the blood, right? There are a couple shots in there where I'm like, whoa.
It's insane.
He got that right.
Insane. This thing could be something special, buddy. I walked away from that trailer thinking like, man, they could really, really... I was praying they were going to make it more of a sequel to Kubrick than to the book.
Yeah.
Because that's the version people know, man.
Right.
Like that's, that's definitely what they're doing here. So.
Yeah. I'm almost wondering though, if he can find a balance.
Oh, I think he's trying to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's impossible to do. I think visually he's definitely taking from Kubrick.
Maybe that's what you do is visually you take from Kubrick and then because story-wise you take from King.
Because it doesn't really matter. Like the major plot points that Kubrick changed, I mean, what are they? What's his name? The cook,
The
Shining. He does get killed in Kubrick's version.
Right.
But does it matter? Like, by the time Dr. Sleep rolls around, he's passed away anyway. So you don't really...
You don't really need him.
The only big thing would be the difference of how his dad was. Because in Kubrick's, Nicholson's kind of...
He's crazy from the jump, basically.
Pretty much.
And that's honestly... That's King's whole hang-up with the movie a lot.
That's his issue.
That's his main issue, is that Nicholson is... he's told...
Dude.
King has told Nicholson to his face, like...
Yeah.
He's like, you played Jack Torrance like a psycho from the beginning.
Yeah. I don't really care, Steve. I could care less, Steve.
If I could be a fly on the wall during any conversation, it would be between Stephen King and Jack Nicholson back then.
Amazing. Amazing. What if Jack Nicholson shows up?
I guess it's high. No, did he retire?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's possible.
Okay.
I could see it.
Yeah. I don't know if this would be the one that he would come back for, though.
But if they were like, we're going to pay you,
like a Tarantino.
We're going to pay you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is do some voice work, and we're going to CG a young Jack Nicholson in here. He would do it.
Yeah, you might be right.
We'll do it. You can do it from your house, Jack. All right, sounds great.
Better yet, meet me courtside for the Lakers.
Yeah. I'll record it courtside.
You just hear basketball sneakers on the ground.
Squeaking. All of a sudden, you just... All right.
I think that was it,
we're
right?
We're off the rails, man. That was fun.
Yeah. All right. That's Comic-Con. We'll see you next time.
Signed, Blade.